Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. You made it to the end of the week, and I hope you are ready for the weekend. And I don't know what plans you have. Simpiwe will tell us what her plans are in a minute. She's probably got some. And if you don't have any plans yet, you still got some time to figure it out because you still got the whole of Friday ahead of you. How fantastic. And it is, like, this morning's a little chilly, but it's not cold. I'm not going to complain.
No, the sun's going to come out.
I think so.
So
the sun will come out tomorrow. All right. So I see the comment section's already alive and well this morning. I see my good friend Brendan Peel is on today. How exciting, says Congo Chris. Uh-oh. Cancel the guest. If they're a friend of Congo Chris, they're not allowed in the building. That sounds dangerous. Sounds very, very dodgy. Yeah, tell us what you got up to. Get into the comments. And if you haven't already, like and subscribe on this Friday morning. What's happening, Sims? What do you got planned for the weekend?
Well, today is PH's birthday.
Ah.
And he's going to be celebrating by hosting Paula on Sunday. So that's where I'm going to be.
That sounds awesome. Where is it this weekend?
It's in Newtown.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, it's something.
You don't have to drive to like Nelspruit or something.
Yeah, hell no.
Okay.
And it's an all-white party. And so.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll be there. And the rest of the team will be there.
Very good.
That's what
are you, also going flex, James? Yeah. For the vibes, eh? For the vibes. James is always looking out for the vibes. Very good. Ben will not be in the studio this morning, but he'll call in a little later on so we can catch up on a little bit of sport. But it is, Heritage Month. So we spent Wednesday morning with a guy from Joburg Heritage, which I thought was quite interesting because it reminded me, like, everywhere you go, there are things that you don't know that you could learn about that are fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make the effort just to get up and decide you're going to do something rather than not do something. And your day will be filled up with cool shit.
That's true.
And that's what we're going to do today also, fill up your day with cool shit. So we've got that Brendan Peel who's coming in later on. He's going to keep us entertained in the last bit of the show this morning. Why are you laughing?
Should be interesting.
Okay, but I want to know why you're laughing.
No, it's just like interesting.
She's holding back on us. He is an internationally recognized rising star in the art of magic and illusion.
That's why I was laughing. So I don't know. I'm a skeptic when it comes to magic.
I am too, but the poor guy is going to come in and try with us anyway.
Okay.
But he is, he's just got back from a very successful performance on Britain's Got Talent, where he wowed the judges and even ended up making Britain's Got Talent history as one of the craziest acts ever seen on the show. So this guy is not like some schlub who goes, pick a card, any card, and then like pulls out the card that you thought you chose. He goes, you weren't sure, but you thought you chose, you know, at some party when everyone's drunk. This guy can actually do stuff. So okay. He's going to tell us about the art of magic and illusion. Maybe he'll give us a few of the secrets.
Maybe.
You never know.
Maybe convert me. Yeah.
What does it say up there? My biggest flex is me.
Of course.
That's Simpua's hat. All right. So let's get started. There's quite a lot going on in the news. I see, by the way, Brazil have banned X. So
it's about time.
But I mean, are you happy about that?
No, I just see that's the wave. A lot of countries where the government likes to control what people consume.
Mm-hmm.
Platforms like X are just going to get.
Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what's happening.
It's about time. I'm not surprised. If it was the USA, I'd be like, wait, what?
Well, I mean, there are people in the US, believe it or not, who think this is great. There are Americans who are cheering this on. The guy who's in charge of prosecutions in the state of, which one is it now? I mustn't get this wrong. It's not Missouri. Is it Missouri? Minnesota.
Okay.
A guy called Keith Ellison.
Mm-hmm.
And he, by the way, James, the speaker's giving us a bit of noise. He is very, very anti-Twitter because he doesn't like Elon Musk. He's got a different political agenda. Mm-hmm. And he reckons it's right that governments should tell people what they can and can't say.
Mm.
And I am on the opposite side of that. I'm like, you know how you combat horrible speech or hate speech or speech that you don't like? With more speech.
Mm.
So if someone says, well, fuck you, you don't go... you shouldn't be allowed to say that, and shut them down forever. Because believe it or not, like, I hate to say this to people who haven't realized this yet, but in their heads, they're still saying, fuck you. They're just not saying it anymore. Even if you're powerful enough to control their activities, to ban them, to lock them up, to have them executed, you can't stop what they think in their heads.
Yes.
Right? So yeah,
that's true.
I don't understand this this desire some people have to control other people's speech, to control the way other people say and do things. You can't. You can't get into my head. And therefore, you can't police my head. Am I right?
That is very true.
Okay, so I think we're both on the same side of this. I don't also care if you like Elon Musk or you don't. I don't care if you agree with him or you don't. Most people who are on X are saying what they think. They're not saying what Elon thinks.
That is very
true. If you happen to agree with him like I do on a couple of things, awesome. But if you don't, too bad. He's not going to shut you down. He allows people to criticize him directly on his own platform, which, let me tell you, I don't think most of us have the strength of character to be able to put up with that. I don't know if I was in charge of X, whether I would be as open-minded, magnanimous, I'd be as tolerant. I don't know that I have those powers. And the only way you can be sure that you're on the right side of this argument is that you're not telling other people what to do. It's this authoritarian impulse that bothers me. So the guy in Brazil who's banned X is this, he looks like Voldemort.
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen the pictures?
Oh no.
Jesus.
Oh.
Guys, see if you can find a picture of the Brazilian judge who just got X banned. He is a scary looking mofoco. And that's not the most important thing about him, obviously. If he looked great, it would still make him an asshole for banning X, which is probably the freest platform in the whole world right now.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we're on YouTube often. Sometimes YouTube will tell us that we said something they don't approve of, or they'll demonetize a video, or they'll say we're in copyright infringement, or whatever they have to do to get the content to the state that they want it in. Because it's, you know, it's the platform we use. So their rules, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not as free as X. On X, you can post anything you want, ooh, except the obvious things. Like, you can't call for violence.
Yeah, but you can clearly post porn. Like, oh, yo.
Hasn't X become like the main channel for porn?
Yes, it has. Yes. Like, you be scrolling and every other...
There's the guy.
Oh my gosh, he's so
How's
scary.
That guy, huh?
I think he got into trouble with his wife as he was scrolling one day and... like one of those very risque videos came up, and then I'm banning this.
Yeah. There has to be a personal reason for someone like that. But he's a real authoritarian.
Sure.
Apparently has connections all over the police.
Ooh.
Yeah, all over the rest of the court system.
Mm.
He is the one who banned Jair Bolsonaro, who was the former president of Brazil. He was that like right of center guy. He and Trump got on really well. This guy doesn't like either of them.
Mm.
So he just banned the former president from ever entering an election again for 8 years.
Hectic.
So he thinks he's important.
What is his agenda? What does he want to achieve in life? Hey?
And let me ask you this. Why is he so powerful that he can make these calls? Like, you shouldn't be able to. Like, isn't democracy about the people deciding who they want to be their president? Isn't democracy about the people going to vote? Not one judge deciding who will and won't be on the ballot. Yes, am I wrong?
I'm a bit surprised about like this man. I actually should like read up about him, because that's scary, you know?
I don't know, but it's not great.
Because he has his own agenda, and he's like, I might not be president, but yeah, I'm the one running this country.
Correct. That's him.
That is scary.
All right. An attack on online speech in the UK is crazy. Facebook, this is Dirk Kutsir, says this, Facebook facilitated wars and is the champion of fake news, but no one is shutting them down.
Oh.
In the UK now, if you say certain things about immigrants,
oh my word,
the police come to your door, they knock on your door, they say, excuse me, are you Simpiwe Mtetwa? You're like, yeah. Did you post this offensive tweet? And then they show you your offensive hate tweet, which is like you saying, actually, I don't want to pay for immigrants anymore. Right? You're out. Sorry, straight to jail. They're going to investigate you and all that kind of shit. So Dirk knows what he's talking about. YouTube will demonetize your video but still collect ad revenues from ads shown in your video. Yes, that's true. You can't do anything about that. Migs says, Simpiwe looks either like a bookie or a quantum taxi driver this morning. Oh. Is that a bad thing? Do you think you look like a quantum taxi driver?
I don't want to look like a quantum taxi driver.
I think it's the cap.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah.
That's what it caps. Is.
Yeah.
Putella says, I heard Elon Musk has an army of bots who attack you online when you criticize him. What if they're bots?
I mean,
who care? Why? Again.
But he takes the piss out of everything, though. Like, not even... I've seen him live.
Yeah, he's having fun.
Yes, like with tweets about AI about him, and he'll be like, oh, that's actually funny. And he's just having a good time. It's like X is whatever you want to make it. If you want a political timeline, you can have that. If you want something fun, if you just want porn on there, your timeline can just be that. So people must just relax.
Yeah, right. Relax. And if you don't want that stuff, you know what you can do? Not use Twitter.
Once. You know? But don't ban me from
No, this is the point. So let's say, for example, someone really, really doesn't like this show. Then my question is, well, why are you watching us? Why are you listening to us? Like, you've got a ton of other things to watch and listen to that are much more boring. You don't have to come here.
True.
We don't have to make everything sanitized for you. Like, get out of your own asshole. Stop thinking you're the center of the universe. If that's what you do, you go around telling everyone else how they should behave in your life. You're not the main character in the story of Earth.
No, you're not. Maybe in your life, but not here.
Who do you think you are? I'm not even the main character in my fucking show. I mean, like, some mornings it's definitely Simpiwe's show, right?
Definitely. Like, yes, I mean, I need also shine.
Right. Ooh. So Bitcoin has a bakery, right? He says, I baked 4 breads already. Number 5 and 6 are in the oven. 8 more to go.
Ooh, what is he baking?
Ooh, but don't you love the smell of a bakery in the morning? Yo, that's the best smell. So
and
up the road.
The bread comes out and just smells so good. So the route I take from the office to home, I off-ramp, and there's like the Albany
a
bakery factory there. It always smells like, I'm like, oh, I could just put some bread right now. And you just put some butter on it when it's still hot, and it's just, ooh.
So you know they say if you're trying to sell your house, that you should bake bread.
Really?
Because apparently when people smell that, no matter where, what culture, how old, young, whatever, that they when they smell baking bread, I mean, you've got to obviously do a good job, don't burn it.
Yeah, of course.
But if you bake bread, it makes people feel like it's homely and that they feel safe and they feel comfortable and the whole thing just gets them feeling, oh, I want to live here. So yeah, if you're ever selling your house, that's someone said that to me once. I don't know if it's true, but it could be because I love the smell of baked bread in the morning. So Bitcoin Boots, I know that you're probably sick of it because it's what you do every day. But let me tell you, there's a little garage up the way here, and I sometimes go and get coffee there. And it's at 5 in the morning. They're obviously busy.
Yes.
And the ovens are all on and the bread's coming out of there. Oh, it smells so good.
That's when you know you're getting something super fresh and soft and then it's crisp on the outside. Ooh.
If I went there every day, I'd be so fat. I would be so unbelievably fat. You would hear me from a mile away. I'd show up on the Richter scale. Fuck. George Meany. I saw George Meany yesterday. Hey, George. I saw George yesterday. We actually went for a coffee and I had a little catch up with George, who is, of course, the CEO of Auto Trader. And he's one of the people who is the show. Like, some days it's George's show, right? He's the main character on the show.
Can I just say I'm a bit jealous because you don't do the Friday show anymore. You'll come on and be on the Monday show. Like,
are you feeling neglected?
Yes, I am. Oh, like, Borge, you know? Was the Friday show people that gave you that name.
So George actually was telling me about like property because, you know, he knows a lot more about this than I do. And he was saying, you got to make the bid if you want to sell your house. Can you imagine? And by the way, I saw this when I had a property that was on the market. So I was looking at what other people were selling. And you can't help yourself. It's like with Auto Trader, which George has. You go on and you look at other cars. You look at the most expensive ones.
Yes.
You look at the cheapest ones. Mm. You kind of figure out what's going on in the market, right? Because you are in the market for it, maybe. Maybe you're buying or selling a car.
Mm-hmm.
if you're buying or selling a house, you look around and what you find is that there are some people who take pictures of their house.
Okay.
But it is an untidy mess. Now, that's bad enough. But they share those pictures on the site where they want to sell or rent their property. And I'm like, surely you could tidy that up.
Yes. Isn't the whole aim is to put your best foot forward?
You would think.
You know, even with your house, you clean it up. You would make sure that linen that has a hole in it, it doesn't show. You would make sure that even if, I don't know, like a 3-small-bedroom house looks like a 5-luxury.
Yes.
You just want to sell like something that looks amazing and bigger than what it is. And then when I actually get there, I get disappointed. I'll be like, okay.
I don't know how anyone could have. It's just like such a thick skin. The idea that you would put your house on the market and you'd take a picture of your bedroom with your bed that's like unmade. You know, like marks on the sheets and the pillows.
Please.
You got like, what's going on? This is disgusting. You don't do that. Have some pride. Raven says you got to mix some vanilla essence and water in a little dish in the oven. And it smells like you're baking cookies. Okay, so that's the hack.
Okay.
For like, you don't have to actually bake because I wouldn't know how to. I would burn down my house if I baked anything. But if you do this, a little bit of vanilla essence and some water in addition to the oven, smells like you're baking cookies. A tip I once got from an estate agent when you sell your house. You see, so
yes.
I wasn't making it up. It didn't just come from nowhere.
Okay.
I love noted. That. Mig says, turn off the Outlook received mail sound, please. Was it me or was it you? It was you guys. Okay, sure. Well, watch out because Migs is very angry this morning. He's on the rampage.
Oh.
Tracy says, from time to time, I will photograph houses for estate agents. Holy shit, some houses or properties are just a hot mess, she says. Banana peels under the couches. Ah, dusty curtains, dirty windows, dishes everywhere.
Guys, no. What happened to like doing a spring clean when someone's coming to your house? What happened to just making sure that the house looks good, is good? Like some people even clean up before their helpers come in because they're like, I don't want them to see it like this dirty. Hey, now someone's taking pictures that will live for like a really long time.
Congo Chris says, if you just put some potassium in a dish of water, it creates a lovely atmosphere and an explosion. But I get you. Don't worry. Congo Chris, full of bad ideas this morning. Rather follow Raven's advice. Here we go. Here's George with some useful info for you for this morning. Friday car selling tip. Selling privately at the moment is flying. If you want to sell, now is the time.
Oh.
So there's a guy who knows about the car business. So if you want to sell a car today, He says, sell it today. So thanks, George. See why he's useful to have around.
Yes.
Amazing. Dr. Robin says, I once saw an ad for a house. The photo was of a teeny tiny guest toilet, not even a spectacular loo. Not sure if they ever sold it.
Yeah. There's someone desperate out there.
Well,
you know, that's the reality. So.
I mean, on the list of things that you are looking for in your next house, aren't all toilets just toilets, just toilets, just toilets?
No.
Like they all...
No.
There are bad ones?
Yes.
And there are great ones?
Yes.
Like, okay, tell me the difference.
I
thought all white porcelain...
I guess... Let's start off with like just, I think the size of the toilet, right? Or the restroom, right? The size of it, especially
of the room itself.
Plays a role.
That I get.
And then also in the house context, right? So if the shower's right there and the toilet's right there, it's just like, oh no, like this is
or you can't you can't open the door fully because it's like just bumps like, it makes again.
It makes it just be like,
okay.
I don't want this. I really don't. But what I've also seen is that they've started separating the toilet with the showers and whatnot, which is really nice. I like that.
Because
then you can have someone go to use the restroom and then someone take a shower and no one is... Yeah.
They don't have to be in
the
same...
They don't have to... Yes.
Someone take a big shit while you're in the shower. That's what you're worried about, Simpiri. You can just say it. She's being all diplomatic this morning. I don't know why. But yes, I don't know why anyone would want to share a bathroom with someone who's actively taking a shit. You see, it even made her cough. She's so disgusted. There are couples who do that. Like,
No.
Yes.
I don't get it.
I know.
I don't get it. Like, can I have my privacy?
Simpiwe,
can I just have my privacy?
Hate this. I love telling this story, but because it's absolutely true. I know a couple. Okay. They've been together probably about 10 years. They are very comfortable with if one is in the shower and the other one is on the toilet, they are happy with that. Now, I am single. I have been for the last 3 years or so. Okay. Let me tell you something. I will never love someone so much. I will never want a relationship with someone that I love to ever get to the point where we're comfortable doing that. It's disgusting.
It's just.
And if you are one of those people, this doesn't mean that you're like more intimate or more relaxed around each other. We get each other. We know each other well. I've had this argument with this very couple I spoke to. They're not better than other couples. They are just freaky, weird people who have no sense of dignity.
Yeah, look, can we just have a line,
look,
guys?
Look, Simpiwe's making lines.
Yeah, can we just have a... And you know, because I stay with my gran, and she sometimes has a tendency of just barging in. And it's just like, whoa, man, can you please just exit?
That's not right.
Just, I'll be with you in like, give me 2 more minutes. So for me, it's just one of those where that's my line. You know, we can do a lot of things together, but not share the restroom when I'm in it. Like, nope. No, my space is my space. And when I'm done, it's your space afterwards.
So, common sense in the comments. Common sense says, we wanted a house that was on show. We saw there were other offers. So I took a dump in the reception toilet and did not flush. And that did
you
help.
You disgusting
no.
little.
No, but that, oh that is a surefire way of putting off the other buyers, right? Clever. That is strategy.
No. Because now people think the toilet doesn't work or like there's something going on. Don't do that nonsense.
Dirk says, my wife and I have different toilets and different bathrooms. Does make a difference and has probably saved our marriage a few times.
Yes.
Okay. I also know a couple, different couple now, who have been happily married for probably about 20 years. And they are, look, they like any other couple, nothing's perfect. They fight occasionally. They will argue with each other, but they're happy. They genuinely like each other. They got some kids. And it's not, I would say, superior to anyone else, but they have a rule. Their rule is separate bathroom for him and her.
Thank you.
They never fight about stuff like that. Also, they have rules about like, not arguing before you go to bed at night.
Okay.
You never go to bed angry, they said.
Okay.
So I would follow their advice rather than the take a shit in front of people advice. Although while we're on something lavatorial, this is funny. A friend of mine has gone overseas and he's renting out his flat.
Ooh.
So another friend of mine, who's a bit of a maniac, upset him horribly the other night and said to him, while you're away and trying to rent your flat out, I'm going to go in and do a double, an upper decker. You know what an upper decker is?
The number two, I guess.
That's worse, on another much level. Worse than that.
Okay.
James Flex, do you know what an upper decker is? Okay. So an upper decker, this is a truly terrible thing to go on Common Sense. That's what made me think of it. Common Sense's comment about taking a dump. So an upper decker is if you, I don't know who came up with this, not my idea. You take the top off the back of the toilet. You know the thing that the cistern that the water's in?
Okay, I'm with you.
Where the flush thing, mechanism is. And it's got that plunger that holds it in and then refills with water after you flush.
I don't like where this is going.
An upper decker is what I suppose like a frat guy would do to punish his roommate or someone he hated. It's like a very juvenile thing to do. But you take a shit in the top part of the toilet. And then people, because it'll take them a very long time to realize what's happened. So you would arrive at your house.
That's horrible.
And you'd go, that's a funny smell.
Oh, that's horrible.
And you'd go to the toilet and you'd flush it. And the water would be brown and you'd be like, there must be something wrong with my plumbing. Maybe there's a sewage leak. But it would fill up again and refreshen the turd.
No.
So there we go. You've learned something truly horrible this morning, right?
I didn't need to know that.
Upper Decker. Bitcoin Boot knows about this, says it's the ultimate comeback. Do you know what waffle stomping is?
If it's disgusting, I don't want to know what that is. Can I keep my innocence, please?
Yeah, I don't want to know either. Not yet. We've already had the Upper Decker this morning. Let's not have more than that, okay? Cully says, my brother and his friends used to do an Upper Decker in the hostel. Like, fuck, man, you live there. That is horrific. That is terrible. Dirk says, you do that in the boss's toilet, in the executive toilet on your last day. There's an executive toilet.
You guys.
No, but like, let me ask you a question, Dirk. You have an executive toilet in your building? Who do you work for? Government? Because you can imagine, like, government. Like, the president has his own bathroom that no one else is allowed to use. Hey.
Yeah, and then, like, you just the rebel. Like,
imagine you go in there and Upper Decker the president. And Cyril's like, where's my iPad? I don't know who stole my iPad. What is that terrible smell? Oh, can we get someone in here to look at what the problem is? I had a meeting with the president of Brazil just now. He's banning Twitter. I'm going to ban people from shitting. That'd be terrible. Can you imagine? XR says, please, can we move on? All right. We'll move on. We'll move on. Oh, good. We're just in time for Ben. Jesus, you telling me we talked about filthy stuff like that for a whole half hour?
Yes, we did. Wow, and I'm traumatized.
This show needs help.
I'm traumatized.
We need a psychiatrist. Oh, wait. We've got Dr. Hanan on a Monday. So luckily for you, we'll be with our psychologist on Monday. And Dr. Hanan returns. For those who missed him this week, you see what happens when he goes away for a week?
Yeah, we talk about Upper Deckers now. Gosh.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm so humiliated. All right, let's go to Ben, who's live. Oh, there he is on the screen. Ooh. Hello, Ben. What the hell's going on there? It looks like you're in a gym or something.
No, I'm at the airport. I'm going to George.
Ah, aeroporto. That George flight's very expensive. You must be going to do something important.
It's a bachelor weekend, so we're going to play golf. It'd be great if this woman could stop talking behind me. She's not saying anything important. Gareth, we're going to go play golf, but we're staying at Kingswoods with some friends. It's part of a bachelor weekend because someone's entrusted me to actually be the MC at a wedding next month.
Oh, okay. You got roped into that. I know that feeling.
I know you know that feeling.
Is that woman interested in being part of the show?
She literally just...
There's a woman who looked into the shot like she wanted to. She really wanted to be in the show. Sure.
Well, you know me, guys. Sports and tunnies. That's kind of me.
All right. So, Ben, tell us, because I know your time is going to be limited, but give us an idea of what we can look forward to. Oh, good. Okay. Well, tell us what's up with sport.
Another fantastic weekend because, of course, this is kind of, I wouldn't say the end of the rugby championship, but if we beat the All Blacks this weekend, we kind of close it out. We sort of have an unassailable lead with two tests against Argentina. So it's all on this one. I know last week was really a lot of fun, and it was great to go get hammered, go at his park, shout and scream. But this will be more of a traditional test match. So I think it'll be a lot like lower in score. So I think combined last week was more than 60. I think the test match combined score this week will be more like 50. It's going to be a slower game. So Rusty has made five changes to bring in more sort of controlled and precise players like Billy LaRue and Andre Pollard. And the All Blacks have also made five changes too. And the weird thing about that is they've taken their best number 9 and 10 and they've put them on the bench. So they've got an idea that they want to sort of close the game out better because last week they were shite. The last 20 minutes they scored 0 points. And ultimately they completely screwed up a 10-point lead. So I'm going to say the box by 9 because I think this team's going to click in a more sort of, you know, regular sort of environment. Ellis Park's very emotional. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of, it's just a weird place. Yeah. But now Cape Town Stadium, it's the first time these two teams will be playing there. So there's no history. I don't think we can even bother about looking at that. We actually seldom play in Cape Town as the Springboks against the All Blacks. So yeah, I'm hugely excited about this. And of course, if you are going to Cape Town for this game, get there super early because it's seldom that it gets completely sold out. And there's only a few roads into Cape Town itself. So yeah, I'm very envious. I'll be watching George at a bar, which I'm also pretty excited about. But yeah, Cape Town, you know, hey, to use...
Ben,
to use
I, just the... wanna, just want to warn you, you've got to be a bit careful. There are a couple of people. I don't know, like maybe the plane to George is like the hills have eyes or something. There are a couple of people behind you who are looking very menacing. There was one man who was staring at you just now like this going, I think he wants to eat you. You must just watch out.
It is a bit weird because as I said to you, obviously I'm projecting my voice slightly. It's almost as bad as the time in the Ryder Cup when I was in that van with 12 people and they were all quiet and I was just going.
I remember that.
We're doing well here. So I would say that the Bucks are going to be favorites here. They just do have so much more. Blacks have more less than that. And it just showed last week. I think it will show even more this time around. And then the other match, Argentina, after somehow losing to Wallabies last week, which was hugely embarrassing, I reckon they'll do it against Australia this week. And this game will be at 8 o'clock. The Bok game will be at 5 o'clock, both on Saturday. There's a whole bunch of Curry Cup as well, if you're still into that. And the great thing about the Curry Cup is that people are trying to make it go. You know, if we just sort of let it go, we would lose so much of SA rugby. So the Bulls and the Lions are pretty much the two horse races over here, like we said in a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Interesting match today. The Griquas will take, you know, Western Province. Now, Western Province have been dog shit all year. And Griquas in Kimberley on that car park of theirs, it's going to be an intensely tough match. So that's pretty close. Lions versus Griffins also today at 5:15. And then the Pumas will take on the Cheetahs tomorrow at 1:30. And the Sharks versus the Bulls, that's the big game Sunday. And that'll be at 3 o'clock. But there is a metric ton of football happening this week as well. So it's the UEFA Nations Cup. Every 2 years they play. It's kind of like the Euros, but they have their own thing. So all the nations of UEFA compete for this cup. It's been played 3 times. It's not like someone really, really cares about it. But if you love football and you miss the Euros, you'll have a big game between now and Tuesday. So tonight, for example, there's going to be France versus Italy at 8:45. Tomorrow we'll have Ireland versus England at 6:00. Sunday, Switzerland versus Spain at 8:45. And then Tuesday, Netherlands versus Germany, also at 8:45. So if you are into that, then that's great. If you like a little bit of local action, of course, it's the AFCON qualifiers. So Bafana are in Group K, and they've got South Sudan, Uganda, and Congo. I always find it funny when you look at the AFCON teams, you think, I mean, pardon my ignorance of what goes on the ground, but these countries can't exactly have the most amazing facilities / programs that we have. So I'm backing Bafana to win this one. They're playing Uganda tonight at 6 o'clock. That'll be at the Orlando Stadium. So if you are in the area, it's a great way to start the weekend. Orlando Stadium's really nice because it's slightly more intimate than FNB Stadium. FNB looks great, and obviously for the big games, it's really cool. Orlando Stadium's a really cool home ground. A lot more intimate, a lot more intimidating. Definitely. For their weight bands. In the tennis, we've got the US Open semis into finals, actually. Now, the great thing about this, if you don't care too much about tennis, is that there's a lot of outsiders. You know, a lot of underdogs have kind of pulled through as the top seeds have tumbled. So in the women's draw, we've got Sabalenka going to the final versus Pegula. Sabalenka is, wow. I mean, she's been recorded to have the fastest forehand in the tournament. As in, she clubs the ball harder than the men.
Wow.
Incredible, incredible stats. So she's a real athlete. She's got a great frame on her. And she was in the finals last year, didn't get it done. But I reckon she'll be a good bet for this weekend. And in the men, we've actually got quite a few Americans doing well here. So Taylor Fritz, he'll take on Francis Tiafoe. Let's clock that up. That'll be in the one semifinal. And then Yannick Sinner will be taking on the English guy, Draper. So obviously we know the English guy is going to choke the crap out of us, but he's also not quite as good as Sinner. Now, Sinner is the world number one. He started the year really well, and then it was kind of more the Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz show. So Sinner's come back. All the big seeds have gone away. I reckon he'll take it. So between him and I hit the ball harder than anybody, Sabalenka, I reckon that's your US Open winners. There's also golf. If you really like watching golf, there's the Omega European Masters, where it's at Cran-sur-Sierre. It's that super rich place in the Swiss Alps where basically when there's sun for 2 months, they play golf. Otherwise, they just basically they ski and they snowboard and they drink really expensive booze. But that's a really cool thing to watch. So that's kind of it for the weekend. I mean, rugby is obviously a huge thing. The UEFA Nations Cup, the AFCON. There's no Formula One this week. And of course, the PSL starts next week. The Champions League starts next week. So we're going to have a whole bunch of really cool previews throughout next week and then obviously a lot more football action. But if you are looking to go on to Superbets right now and have a bit of a flutter, as the old guys would say, then I really do believe in the box having a bit of a handicap.
Oh, my God.
And Argentina finally getting it right. So, so if you're going to see your best right now, there's a really cool multiplier that I've got going. Give the box a handicap of -7.5 and give Argentina a handicap of -6.5. They'll give you odds of 4.8, which is really cool. So your hypothetical 100 is going to return you 480 plus, which Good. Is a cool bet. I've got so much faith in this box team clicking. You know, I think last week they were quite shy for the first hour, playing better opposition, but also just getting these combinations right. They've got a really good central team. Jasper Visebak's going to do a hell of a lot for that forward pack. Ron Nokia showing his mettle at number 5. So excited for this box team. And I reckon they're going to win handsomely, as they say.
Very good. Okay, I want to get you off the show because I'm worried about your safety. Yeah. One of those people's going to come and kill you.
Screw it.
They all look very weird.
Screw it. I'll take the all out. There's no problem here at all.
Audrey
just happy
says,
to be here, guys. Friday,
Audrey says, the anti-suka Benten. And then, by the way, Ben, Dirk Kutsia says in the comments, here, oh, well, there we go.
There's more people.
Hello.
Hello, Ben. You're Are you going to George?
Oreos are killing me.
Are you going to George? I live in wilderness. Come and sit with me.
Yeah, they check it then out. They're like, ooh, I'm going to be on top line.
Can you imagine what they're saying behind me now? But they're like skittering about.
No, they're not. They don't. None of those people have anyone to talk to. they're ignoring each other. None of them. I mean, you'd think if you were flying somewhere cool on a Friday, you'd be a little bit happier. You know, they don't look very happy.
Yes,
you're the only one who looks
look
happy.
At me, I'm ecstatic.
Oh, so Dirk says thank you, Ben, for recommending Blitzed last week about the Nazis and the meth and everything.
Yeah.
Couldn't put it down. I'm now reading Tripped, which is also about like LSD and all of that stuff. Absolutely crazy. You can't make stuff up. Oh my God, Ben. You better go. That's your announcement.
Well, have a wonderful weekend. I'm very excited about the weekend, as you can see. And catch you back next week.
All right, cool. Have a lovely time. Thanks, Ben. Ciao. All right, there we go. Bitcoin Boot says that lady behind Ben is a fan of the show for sure. I don't think so. I don't think she knows what's going on. She's like, why are those people filming me? What have I done that they are filming me? Is it an undercover SWAT team who are coming to take me out for that R5 that I picked up outside the Absa the other day that wasn't mine?
Then you have the guy with the laptop who's like, can he just shut up now?
Yeah. Yeah, like he wants to work.
He's like, you're making a noise.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's get into a little bit of news this morning because there is stuff that we need to know. So good news for plastic roads in South Africa. Yes. In Jeffreys Bay, not the home of terribly much innovation, but in Jeffreys Bay, there is a plastic-infused road pilot project that has shown significant promise in terms of durability and longevity compared to traditional tar roads. So the idea is here that you use plastic waste in road construction. I mean, what else are you going to do with the waste?
So what happens when there's a pothole?
There won't be a pothole because plastic isn't like tar. So tar, obviously, they mix the tar with stones. Mm-hmm. And if water gathers in a certain part of the road and it doesn't manage to wash off that part of the road, then it essentially water erodes a pothole. Mm-hmm. So it breaks down the little walls and slowly but surely you end up with a much bigger hole. So that's how a pothole happens. But with plastic, that wouldn't happen.
Okay. So
I don't know. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but if it did, it would take a lot longer. And what are we going to do with all this waste anyway? I'm not against this idea. So apparently, it not only addresses environmental concerns, but also presents a financially feasible alternative. So it's cheaper as well then.
Hmm.
The plastic roads are proving to be more durable, more cost-effective, and have the potential to revolutionize the plastic waste value chain in the country.
Hmm.
Now, I mean,
okay.
I'm all for it, right?
Let's go.
The initial results are promising, widespread adoption, and the response of the Department of Transport are yet to be seen. So we'll have to see. It depends on the Minister of Transport. If successful on a larger scale, plastic roads could significantly transform road construction, reduce plastic waste, and alleviate financial strain on municipalities.
Hmm. I don't like that last part.
Strain on municipalities.
No, well, the financial strain, because we know these guys like money. So yeah, they're probably going to do something to make this seem like it's so much more expensive because it's the first time they're ruling it out. Because
they want the tenders.
Then they're going to have a fight about who must get this tender. But okay, I like the idea though.
It's let's
I like
see.
The idea.
Let's see. Maybe it's going to be amazing.
Maybe, hey?
Maybe. I'm okay. Fun fact, J-Bay only got their first robot in the mid-90s, says Congo Chris.
Oh.
Don't your folks live in Jeffreys Bay, James? They do. So you've gone down there on holiday?
I do.
Okay. The one robot that Jeffreys Bay has, I'm just repeating what you say so people can hear it, yeah? It's still the only robot that exists. It's still the only one. The rest of the town is stop street fencing. So, all right, so it's not the most advanced place in South Africa. Okay, all right. There we go. Thank you. The famous robot of Jeffreys Bay.
Infamous one. When you go to Jeffreys Bay, you have to go see that robot.
Where you live, you drive past 10 robots every time you just get on the highway. And yet in Jeffreys Bay, it's like, did you go and visit the robot today?
Was it maintained? Yeah. Did it work? Oh my gosh.
Was there a red light or a green light while you were there? And you know what's amazing, Simpiwe? It changes on its own.
I know, right?
There isn't even a person pulling a lever. You don't have to do anything.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
I love it. So great. I love it, Jeff.
All right. So, J-Bay, exciting for you. There we go. China will give J-Bay plastic robots. Maybe. Listen, let's give them credit. If they're doing this plastic road project there, that's a cool thing. If they become the town in South Africa that sets an example for the rest of us, it. St. Francis and Cape St. Francis is more pristine than J-Bay, and it's right next door. Maybe, but it's expensive. The plastic will last forever. The sublayer will probably wash away eventually and will need repairs. Maybe.
Okay.
Percy calls it the J-Bot. The Jeffreys Bay robot is called the J-Bot from now on, okay?
So take exciting. A picture next time you're there.
Yeah, like, James, you have to take a picture of this famous. Oh, wow.
Awesome.
How exciting. Why can't we turn the plastic into fuel? When you burn plastic, people get upset. They say you're releasing all kinds of dangerous chemicals into the atmosphere. I make fires at home in winter, right? Sure. I burn lots of shit that fire. Like if I've got snacks out and they're in a plastic bag, I throw the fucking plastic bag in the fire. I don't care.
Gareth.
No, I don't care.
You're harming the environment.
Mostly what you're left with is carbon. Okay, there might be one or two noxious gases, but in small quantities. You know how many noxious gases the environmentalists themselves are releasing through their assholes? Much, hey? Yeah, exactly.
They'd be taking private jets to go talk about the whole "we must save the planet." The irony, but hey.
Oh, this is a good point. Snaya says, Nkuleko Hlengwa, who we actually had on our show not so long ago, is the Deputy Minister of Transport, and that guy is on top of stuff. He knows what's going on. Says you would have to be a really brave son of a bitch to steal in the name of road project tenders. Kuleko doesn't take shit from anyone.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't look for trouble with him. And I saw him on TV the other day and he was talking about some project they've got to get like the trains back and on time. And
yes.
Like that's the guy to get it done.
Liking this. Our ministers must work. Yes.
Lito says, why the hell are we still worrying about these climate clowns? They don't go to Russia and China and talk that. That's exactly right. So I saw, I was so annoyed. I saw Greta Thunberg was putting on a protest the other day again. She was protesting at some place in Sweden. This is her. She's a full-time pain in the ass. This is what this girl is. That's her whole world now. And by the way, she's not some cute little Swedish girl anymore now. She's turning into this. She looks like a 90-year-old woman now.
Mm.
And it didn't take long. She didn't have her hair wasn't brushed. She looked unkempt. She's wearing a little Palestinian scarf because that's her new bugbear. She's just a professional, moaning pain in the ass. That's all she is. We can start ignoring her. We should have started 3 years ago, if you ask me, maybe even 5 years ago. But now we can definitely ignore her. She's an unimportant, uninteresting, self-absorbed, nobody. terrible person.
Oh, gosh.
She needs to get laid, says Jason. Yeah, I agree. She does look like a 90s troll doll. Look at the latest picture of Greta. See if you can find the latest picture of her being arrested. She's aged like 40 years in a few months since the last time I saw her protesting something. She was never a cute little girl, says Lito. Well, I don't know. Maybe that was part of the charm once. It's definitely not anymore. All right. Looking at X, and we talked about X being banned in Brazil. So Elon was talking about something which I thought was quite interesting yesterday. He said, I think it would be extremely tragic if Apollo, that's the moon landing,
yes,
was the high watermark for humanity, and that's as far as we ever got.
Sure.
So I've heard this from a couple of people, that science is stagnant at the moment. I don't know. I mean, we get frustrated, Sims, and I know you're also an Apple freak. So when the new phone comes out and it doesn't do that much more.
Yes.
It's like more or less the same as the previous phone.
Right? Yes, just 10 times more expensive.
More expensive. It's got a bigger camera. That's all. It's the same old, same old.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually we're going to have 6,000 megapixel photographs, but nowhere to store them. So I don't know whether he's right or wrong. But if we've peaked as a civilization, if humanity's greatest achievement is something we did in the 60s, we need to keep moving. I would say the internet is a pretty big thing for the last 40 years.
Yes.
I think that's a major achievement for humanity. It's good and bad, obviously, like anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, like, I look at bridges that were built in the 1920s.
Yes.
Across massive gorges in the Eastern Cape, for example. Since that's our focus area for this morning, thanks to J-Bay. But if you look at those incredible bridges they've built there, I don't know if they've built anything like that recently.
No, but even when people are building things, it all looks the same. Like I saw a picture where they were comparing all the various like fast food restaurants and how they were so bright, and McDonald's used to actually, some of the buildings would represent the M, and it was like also different and also colorful. And now it's all just modern. All of them look the same. All of them are very monochrome. And it's just like almost like an element of creativity has been taken away. And so I do think maybe we have peaked, hey? Like that was the best time to have done things, because now we're just all like, everyone's in the same font. Everyone is like doing things the same way. There's no one like,
that's true.
Oh, let's like push the boundaries. They've even did it with logos where they're like the logo of like Apple 40 years ago compared to now. It was more creative, like more out there.
More colorful, more interesting.
Yes, and then now it's just.
Now everything's in black and white and gray.
That's it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And we've had this conversation on the show before. It's like architecture's got very boring.
Yes.
Everything, post boxes, telephone booths, which we don't need anymore. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like anything that they build now is so utilitarian. It's so built for function and not form and function, which is what it used to be. You know, if you look at the buildings, like most of the city halls across South Africa, right? This is the place where the city council would meet. It's the most important building supposedly in your town. They were all beautifully built.
Yes.
I mean, I remember in Pietermaritzburg, for example, we've got an absolutely beautiful city hall in Maritzburg. The Etekwini one too in Durban. Pretoria has a beautiful city hall. Cape Town's one is currently being used for parliament because parliament was burnt, right?
Yes.
So we have these beautiful buildings. All of them were built at the turn of the last century, which is a long time ago. We're talking sometimes these buildings are 100 years or more old. And what beautiful buildings have been built since then? You architects, we're watching you. Like, where are the beautiful buildings? And I get it. Like, there are some amazing buildings here in Sandton. They're like skyscrapers and glass and chrome. It doesn't have to be old school. So those buildings are beautiful, but not in the same way. Like, if you think about how, in order to build one of those old buildings I'm talking about, you'd need a stonemason.
Ugh.
You'd need, it took time.
Yes.
And it took effort, and the windows had to be made each at a time. It wasn't like some mass-produced aluminium thing.
Yes.
I think you're right. Like, the world is getting uglier, not prettier.
Yeah, it's like we just went from, like, colorful, creative, push the boundaries, not sure where we're going, to...
Yeah, meh. Meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
Couldn't agree more. It's very sad.
So let's bring back beautiful architecture, huh?
Yes, please.
How about that? That would be lovely. Imagine if someone just built... I mean, it's also to do with budgets, so I don't want to just be rude about architects because it's obviously their fault, but it's not just their fault because the people paying for the building, also, they just want value for money.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that you wanted to build something truly beautiful. You could say, this is my house. It looks amazing. Oh, well, there we go. There's Joburg. Look how ugly that... look at how ugly that is. I mean, we had this background where we were talking about the Joburg Heritage Fund the other day. And those are people who are working hard all the time to make Joburg more interesting, taking people on tours and all that stuff. But look at that ugly-ass Hillbrow Tower. Okay, just look at that thing right next to my head. Look at this. There. Look at this thing.
Yeah.
What a horrible, monster, nasty 70s piece of barbarian shit that is. And, you know, obviously it's a symbol of Joburg.
Yes, it is.
And people know it, but it's ugly. Look at that. It's ugly. Would you want to live in that?
No.
No.
Hell no.
It looks like a suppository for Satan.
Okay. Okay.
Probably not how you feel. And Ponte. You saw Ponte in that image as well.
Yes.
That's also an ugly building. I don't care what people say. It's there. Look at it with that Vodafone sign on the top.
You know what's interesting is that, so I stay in the East Rand. From the East, I can...
Well, from bad to worse. we just jumped from Joburg to the East Rand. Oh, the East Rand.
Nah, just listen. So sometimes I can see that Vodacom tower from like our house. But then we also have like the tallest building in Sandton. I'm like, how come I can't see that?
Yeah, well, you're just not lined up properly for that. Okay. You have to pay extra for that. You got to pay extra for that view. For a minute, the set looks like an ENCA broadcast. Turn it off. Yeah, thank you. See, producers, Tracy's on to you. All right, very, very good. Dr. Robin says, the architecture of East London is surprisingly beautiful. Oh. but trashed by cheap spaza shops and posters stuck everywhere. Oh. I have been into the center of East London.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, not for a long time.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It is a dump.
Oh.
But not because of the buildings being ugly, but because no one's looking after that place. East London looks like a dump.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. The Grand Mosque, it was finished in 2007. It took 13 years and the details were crazy. I saw it yesterday. Did not know that they still do stuff like that anymore. Is that the one here in Joburg, Raven? Because there's a beautiful mosque in Midrand, of all places, which was built by a Turkish guy. And you can see it sometimes from the highway.
Okay.
And it really is quite something to see. And I'm absolutely sure it's beautiful inside, although I haven't been into it before. But, you know, you think about churches and mosques and things.
Mm.
People used to make these unbelievably gorgeous buildings like Notre Dame, which obviously also had a fire in it a couple of years ago. I was watching this brilliant documentary about how they rebuilt Notre Dame. Mm. And they used the same techniques that were used in the 13 or 12 or 1100s when they built it. Like guys with like a plane and wood and getting these beams of oak from a forest in France. Ooh. And, you know, stonemasons who are chipping away at something to make it exactly the way it should be. They cleaned everything. They used lead on the roof.
Wow.
And the way they pour this lead into sheets and then roll it up and then they unroll it on the roof, because obviously that's for to prevent leaks and to prevent water from getting into the church. But that's what they did almost 1,000 years ago.
Sure.
And you think about that and you compare it to like some construction site.
We have potholes.
And we have
potholes.
We have potholes in our roads. Like, so, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
What's your favorite building in PE, Gareth? I'll tell you what it is. Something called the Campanile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there. How's that? F you, Conger Chris. You thought I didn't have an answer.
He thought he got you. He's like,
It's like a clock tower.
Okay.
It's unfortunately tucked between the highway and the CBD, and it looks terrible now. Hasn't been cleaned in years. I drove past it about a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a beautiful building. It's quite iconic because there's nothing else like it in PE, and there's nothing else like it anywhere else in the country. So that's probably my favorite building in PE. You can't live in it. It's just a clock tower. I don't know what is happening on the floors below. Might be like orcs and hobbits and trolls, and who alone knows? It's PE, right? So anything could be living in there. Ogres, monsters. You don't know? Like PE. So inbred hillbillies. Nobody knows. But yes, I do have a favorite building in PE. Congo, Chris. Beautiful architecture, XR says, requires sacrifice and blood.
Yes.
None of those amazing buildings come about without horror. Yes, when they built a cathedral in medieval Europe, people were crushed by falling stones. They had like scaffolding that was made out of like wood. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, a good couple of meters up into the air, and it's all wood. And if someone shakes it down at the bottom, you die. And sure, it also took many cases, hundreds of years. I don't know if you've been to or you know about the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. Gaudi, who's probably one of the last great architects, is building this he's died, but his project goes on. They've been building it for over 100 years now.
Sure.
The Sagrada Familia. And it's not complete. It won't be complete for some time.
Ooh.
But they're taking painstaking time to make every part of it exactly as he had designed it. And they're adding to it all the time too. So it's like a living building.
Sure.
That is spectacular. If you ever have a chance to go and see a cathedral, make that one of the cathedrals you see in your life. And whether you're a religious person or you're not, it's just, it's unspeakably beautiful. Yeah.
Ooh, it sounds beautiful.
All right. I didn't mean to bore you with architecture for a whole. See what you opened up, a can of worms. No, I mean, we could talk about this all day, but don't worry, we won't. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. It is 7 o'clock. You are here with us live on the Gareth Cliff Show right here on The Real Network.